everyone. Before we start, I wanted to let you know, if you would like to watch our whole service, head to our website. That's dc2.me. And from the media drop-down, click sermons. You can watch our whole service there.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Discovery Church. My name is Jacob, and I'm one of the pastors here. Before we jump into the message, I want to give a little update about Advent out in the lobby. This is our final Sunday to participate in our Advent season of giving. Each year during Advent, we celebrate the impactful work of our local and global partners, as well as our ministries of benevolence and counseling. If you haven't yet had a chance, take a moment to explore the stories of how our partners are making a difference in their communities and discover ways we can support their ongoing efforts. This is an opportunity to pray for our partners and choose generosity, perhaps by replacing a gift you would normally buy with support for one of these ministries. As you visit the displays, you'll see many ways that God is moving here, near, and far. One thing I've always loved about Discovery, as long as I've been here, that we've been doing Advent, is we really pride ourselves on relationships over organizations. And really, this is this idea of these long-term relationships. And so if you are in a place that you want to support one of these, that is wonderful. And if you're in a place that you cannot, I would encourage you just to go out, read some of the information about who they are, get to know their story, because we really believe in these long-term relationships. When I go out there and I see Costa Rica, for example, I don't see a church we support in Costa Rica. I see Pastor Jesus and Pastor Nelson. Pastor Jesus, who I visited multiple times and who talks to me in really, really broken English. And I talk back in really, really broken Spanish. And we understand about 30% of what each other say. And that guy is a dear friend of mine. And I can prove it because we're friends on Facebook, which is real. I love them. And I would just encourage you, no matter what you do, get to know some of our partners by looking at that and just meet the individuals. All right, we are nearing the end of our Advent series. Advent is our Christmas series where we take a look at the gift of Jesus, the gift that is the birth of a Savior. As we jump in, I'd like to start with two passages that will be our primary linchpins today. These are not traditionally Christmas-oriented passages. However, I think you may be able to see where we're going with this. If you have a Bible, we're going to be looking at James 1, 17 and Philippians 3, 20. I'll throw them up on the screen. James 1, 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Every good and perfect gift from above comes from the Father of heavenly lights. Second, Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven. Hold on to these passages. Let them ruminate for a few minutes. We'll come back to them in a while. We are entering into the final week of Advent, with the big reveal being the birth of Jesus. Advent means an arrival. And in this season, it's important that our focus should be on the arrival and birth of Jesus. With that being said, however, I'm realizing that we've been remiss in talking about the other big name around the Christmas season. Do you all realize that in all of our sermons, we've barely even mentioned the big bearded guy? We've barely mentioned gift giving. We haven't even mentioned one of the biggest celebrities in the world. And you know what? I would describe him, but there's someone who can do a much better job than I am. That is, of course, Buddy the Elf. If you're online with us today, I'm about to show a clip, and unfortunately, it's going to be blacked out on our online service so our video doesn't get taken down. However, that video is linked in the description. When you get a chance, make sure you watch it because it may be the best 15 seconds of your day. Let's show that clip. Yes, we should have shown that clip every single week of Christmas. Saint Nicholas, the patron saint of sailors, merchants, archers, repentant thieves, children, brewers, pawnbrokers, toy makers, unmarried people, and students in various cities and countries around Europe. Some of those I'm sure you didn't know. Reportedly, he was an early Christian who took to heart Jesus' commands to sell your things and give to the poor. That secret gift-giving of his gave rise to the folklore of Santa Claus. There are writings that suggest he was present at the Council of Nicaea, which helped formulate much of the doctrine we use today and was responsible for some of the early canonization of the Bible, that is, which books we study. And although much of his life is legend and guesswork, it did build until finally it gave rise to the idea of Saint Nick, or Santa Claus. And that title, Saint, is a big one. He was a big deal. Santa Claus, the big man around Christmas time. And what is Santa known for? His employment practices, his toy-making factory, his seeming ability to time travel and move faster than the speed of light, and of course, his gift-giving. Because the story of Santa is one of a big bearded man who brings gifts. In fact, I have a picture of him right here. Oh wait, that is not Santa. No, I think that's a photo of God. That is the classic view of God, the big bearded man who watches over people, who moves faster than the speed of light, I'm pretty sure. That isn't overtly stated in Scripture, but it is implied. And he brings good gifts to his people. Advent means an arrival. Advent, the story of the birth of Jesus, was God's greatest gift to his people, or at least top two. There's another big one that we'll probably talk about on Easter, but I don't want to spoil it for you yet. Today, I want to talk about presents with a T, presents. If you have a Bible, let's go back to James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. As we're sitting in our last typical service in 2024, not counting our Christmas Eve services, which is going to be amazing, and I hope to see you there, I thought it would be a good idea to talk about the good and perfect gifts in our lives. One, what does it mean that God gives those to us? And two, how can we not only be the recipients of those gifts, but also a conduit for giving those gifts? The writer of James, particularly in chapter 1, is looking at a group of people who have been downtrodden. They've seen some wins, they've seen a bunch of losses, and now he's speaking and giving advice to them. I'm not going to lie. As I was thinking about this passage this week, that every good and perfect gift comes from God, I found myself thinking about different people in the congregation today. Those who have seen God at work and have some incredible stories to tell. Man, part of my job, the part that I love, is I just get to hear celebration after celebration after celebration. And I can tell you, there's a lot to celebrate. A few weeks ago, we hosted our annual Christmas and New Year's karaoke party for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities in partnership with Crossroads Church. First off, what a blast. There were so many people, it was so loud, there was so much going on, and the fact that there are multiple churches in the area that just want to partner and move toward this community, it got my blood pumping. It was so cool. Praise God. We've gotten our cafe up and running, and it's so much fun for me when I walk in midweek and there's nowhere for me to work. I love seeing people walking around, talking. I love seeing a church where your doors are just open. People are just wandering around. One nice thing about the artwork is people being able to just walk around and just see our church, just have a part of it. You can't walk anywhere in our church without seeing kids everywhere. And I mean everywhere. They're loud. They run around. They treat the auditorium as a jungle gym. And that's exactly how it should be. I love walking through the basement and seeing kids and adults and families all over. It's a beautiful sight. We have groups to find community, regardless of where you are in life. Some go deep into theology. Some are there more for social. And all of them are feeling the need of what a church should be in a community, a place to know others and be known. We have continued deepening relationships with our local and global partners. We've had some really fun times with Compton this year, trips to multiple global partners, and even with our Advent displays at Christmas, getting the church to quite literally put its money where its mouth is. The church should be about people, and we're doing our best to be about people. We have a resource area for those in need in our community where they can pop in and grab things, and we're constantly learning from other groups on how to do this more and more. And I'm leaving out like 99% of what we've seen happening this year because there's so much. When I look at all of that, I have no doubt that every good and perfect gift comes from God, and God has given a lot of gifts this year. And at the same time, as I was prepping this message and reading James 1:7, I couldn't help but think of individuals. While at the same time, one of my favorite things in my job is I get to be a part of a lot of celebrations, I also get to be a part of a lot of laments. I can't help but think of individuals who have lost loved ones this year, and for whom the holidays are going to be so freaking hard. Thinking about people whose marriages are struggling, legal issues and health issues. Thinking about finances and families who are just scraping by and praying they keep making it in a time where everything is so expensive. Thinking about the hurt and the loss and the family dynamics that come from every single holiday gathering, some of which are really good and really healthy, and some of which are really, really hard and are coming up. Can't help but think about mental health issues that begin to rear their heads more and more as we pass into a time of the year that is just physically dark. It feels like the sun sets at like 3 o'clock now. And there's no doubt that when it's darker earlier and there's less sunlight, it can be a heavy season. And yet, despite all of this, I know that every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of heavenly lights who does not change like shifting shadows. Hey, if you're here today and you are on that lament side, you're struggling to find the good gifts from God, I want to direct you to the book of James, chapter 1. It's a whole chapter written to a group of people who are in the midst of trials and tribulations and junk. And James builds them up. He reminds them of God's goodness, and he doesn't sugarcoat the hard. But in all of that, he also reminds us that all good and perfect gifts come from the God who loves us. God loves giving presents. And sometimes it's hard to see them, and other times you look back and your mind is blown at all that you see. James also reminds us that God is one that doesn't shift. He doesn't change. God is who he is, and he loves us all deeply. Another appropriate way to think about the God who wants to give good gifts comes in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. If you have a Bible, it'll be Matthew 6, 25 through 30. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about what your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Coming in today, I know that there are people across the spectrum when it comes to your emotions this holiday season. Can I just implore you, no matter where you are, no matter what's been done to you, to focus on this small piece from Matthew 6, 26. Look at the birds in the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? This comes from Jesus. It's a reminder that God takes care of his creation, and amongst his creation, he sees you and he lifts you up higher than almost anything else he's created, and he cares for you deeply. No matter what you've done or what's been done to you, God gives good gifts to those he loves, and God loves you. This idea of God the gift giver is splashed all over the Bible. He loves giving good gifts to his people. God sets himself up as our Father, and he remarks, just as human parents give good gifts, how much better are the gifts that our Father, God, gives to us? And in that vein, I think that God often uses you and I to be a gift to those around us. I believe one of God's best ways of giving gifts is by using his followers to really live in the lives of others and be people of peace. The impact that you and I have on those around us cannot be overstated. God is the God of good gifts, and I think there is such a cool opportunity for us to be the givers of good gifts on his behalf. The story of Advent is the story of one of God's gifts to us, and I believe it can also be an invitation to how we're gifting others. If you remember the passage from the beginning, let's take another real quick look at Philippians 3:20. "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ." During Jesus' time here, he acted as an ambassador on behalf of heaven to earth. He spoke about heavenly things. He spoke about the country he was a part of. An ambassador is a high-ranking representative to a specific nation or people group abroad. An ambassador's job is to present their country well, to cement diplomatic relationships and create inroads with another country or people group. An ambassador shares stories of their country. They share beliefs and they work to create goodwill and a desire for further interaction. A good ambassador spends a majority of their time presenting their country to others and explaining and defending their actions while also inviting others to share in the glory of what their country looks like. And Jesus came as an ambassador from heaven. He wanted us to know where he came from. He wanted us to know his country. He wanted to represent his country well, to cement diplomatic relationships and to create inroads. He worked to create goodwill and point to his Father's desire for further interaction while sharing what it looks like to have a relationship with his country. The story of Advent is the story of a king who came from heaven to earth and acted as an ambassador to the people of earth, but he didn't stop there. No, in a wild twist, that king became fully human and cemented also his citizenship on earth. Jesus as king in heaven and citizen of earth. And this dual citizenship of Jesus created an interesting dynamic. You see, when Jesus ascended to heaven, he took on the role of an ambassador once again. This time, however, he wasn't just acting on heaven's behalf to earth. No, this time he was acting on our behalf as an ambassador to heaven. Scripture says he stands before God, interceding on our behalf. He presents us to God. He explains and defends our actions and continues inviting God into a relationship with us. Jesus just brags about us. God loves his people. And when he sees us, he sees Jesus, his son. Jesus acts as this perfect ambassador for us, although I don't think it's much of a hard sell because God loves his creation deeply. But there's more to that. And it's so cool because that citizenship on earth that Jesus claimed, it gave us an opportunity to change our citizenship as well. We were firmly citizens of earth. This is where we're from. This is where we came from. And when Jesus came, he offered us dual citizenship. He offered us citizenship in heaven, in eternity with him. No matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, a relationship with Jesus means that your time here on earth is temporary. You're just visiting because God has set up eternity in heaven for you. And if you're here today, if you're joining us online, and you're new to the idea of a God sending his son to earth for you, the idea that Jesus stands before a heavenly God and just brags about you, I want to tell you the story. I want to talk to you about Jesus, the ambassador from heaven. You see, God created us to be with him, but our sins separate us from God. Sins are those things that you do that you know you shouldn't, those dark things that worm deep down inside of you, the things that you hide. But God so desperately wanted a relationship with his people that he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect life and, spoiler for our Easter message, to die a perfect death and act as a sacrifice for us. Jesus wanted to pave the way to a relationship with him. And people here today who proclaim their faith in Jesus know that they're not perfect, know that they don't always get it, know that there are prayers that they see answered and ones that they're not sure if they're answered, but they put their faith in Jesus. And they know that Jesus acts as an ambassador on our behalf, standing before a holy God and presenting us to him and bragging about us because he loves us. And that presentation means that we can have a relationship with Jesus for eternity. If that's something you want to hear more about, I'd love to chat with you after service. And overall, I'd love to connect you with other people here, people who have experienced a radical relationship with Jesus that didn't probably make them completely better people, but changed their lives. I want to tackle this citizenship idea again. I spent a number of years, about 12 years here as the youth pastor, and I loved it. I have so many great memories and so many great stories, but there's one that stands out in my top five. I was running a small group of freshmen and sophomore boys. That group was going about as well as you'd expect a small group of freshmen and sophomore boys to go. Which is to say that we were getting some things done, but if you were listening closely in the room, you'd probably notice that the group of freshmen and sophomore girls were very far ahead of us when it came to questions. Our group had gotten off track quite a few times. That day I taught them Philippians 3:20 about our citizenship being in heaven. And as I was asking questions, I got a mix of responses. Some were good, some kind of went off the rails, some had nothing to do with what we were talking about. Finally, I asked the question, if you believed that you were a citizen of heaven, would that make your life look any different? Again, I got some serious answers, some off-the-topic answers. But then looking around the circle, there was one boy, Taylor Weston. We just called him Weston, whose face kind of went white. Weston had been coming for a few months at that point, and he wasn't a Christian. He was, in fact, emphatically not a Christian. He was very loud about that fact. But he loved coming. And as I'm looking at him, he finally speaks up, and he says, "Jake, if I were a citizen of heaven, and I knew my time here was temporary, wouldn't my entire life have to look different? Like, if this isn't my home, and I knew that my home was somewhere else, then what I do would have to reflect that. I would want my life to look different. I'd want to represent the place I belong to well." The entire group went quiet. This Weston wasn't a kid who normally threw those types of things out. He was more the off-topic type. Our small group, which was about 50% on topic up to that point, became laser-focused. Weston's words struck a chord, and our discussion for the rest of the night was amazing. Our freshman and sophomore group did not magically change after that, but Weston was different. He was really involved. He was great in discussions. From that point on, I saw a difference in the way he approached things. Weston didn't profess faith while he was in high school, and I don't have a pretty conversion story to tell, but I do know that seeds were planted. Weston was met with this idea that if he were a citizen of heaven and an ambassador for heaven here on earth, his life would have to look different. And the wrestling was he willing to do that? For me, it was a powerful moment where I got to see the truth of Scripture and the truth of a relationship with Jesus really sink into somebody, which lands with all of us, citizens of heaven. In this room, we have quite a few citizens of heaven, ambassadors on behalf of heaven. We have the opportunity to brag about the country we're from, to create inroads, to answer questions, and to point to the country where we will return to. We have the opportunity to point people toward Jesus, to point people toward heaven. In the Honest Advent devotional we've been doing, chapter 22 is this photo up here. I really like this chapter. There's this section where I think the author nails it. Scott Erickson talks about how people tend to seek truth from professional ministers, artists, authors, sages, monks, gurus, influencers, politicians, the people who seem to be an authority. However, truth often comes from the neighborhood kid who just keeps coming to your house, or the dad in the grocery line, or the people you pass by, or the woman working at Staples, or that friend at work. It's this idea that oftentimes we're looking for big displays of where God is at work, but God seems to be far more interested in working through individuals and people. In fact, God seems to have this propensity in working far more through individual actions in his followers, working in the lives of other individuals, than he does through big proclamations. The story of Christmas involves a bunch of powerless people, people without any real authority who proclaim the birth of a savior. The young pregnant mother, the shepherds in the field, the magi who have this small page of scripture but wanted to proclaim the birth of the Messiah. The Messiah who belonged to the subjugated people born in a nothing town, and he redefined power. God worked more through the seemingly powerless than he did through the big nations, big leaders, and big authority. And this got me thinking about our calling as Christians in this holiday season. What gift can we give to others? In the beginning, we talked about Santa and God who gives presents with a T. In the book Honest Advent, the author calls us to give presents, and that's presents with a C. That our presence is oftentimes one of the best gifts we can give to others. We're ambassadors from heaven. This is not our home. Our citizenship doesn't belong here. We have an opportunity to brag about the country we know we will return to create relationships with people, and to continue pointing toward our home because we belong to an amazing home. And as ambassadors of heaven, we are called and qualified to live in the lives of individuals as people of peace, to be people who celebrate with others, who lament with others, and who do life with others. Rather than working through big proclamations, God often works through our actions and presence, even what may seem like small or unimportant times. I'm gonna invite the worship team back up. One of the things I love about my job is I get to hear so many stories of celebration, and I know there are so many more things happening that I will never know about. In this holiday season, and as we enter into a new year, I want to challenge and encourage you that your presence in the lives of others is one of the greatest presents you can give. In fact, it's a gift that you may never know the benefit of this side of heaven. Your presence literally changes lives and affects souls. When you couple your presence with being an ambassador of heaven, oh my gosh, the potential ramifications are huge. Every week for this series, we've taken a moment of contemplation in our series. Just a time to sit quietly and just think. And today will be no different. I want to throw back on the screen Philippians 3:20 along with two questions. Where has God placed you? Where is your presence most keenly felt? And who are the lives that your presence is a true present for? God doesn't make mistakes, and he loves working through people, so where do you think he has placed you? I'm going to give you just a little bit of time to reflect on this and pray through these questions before I begin to close us. I know in my life, some of the best gifts I've ever received from God were the people he placed around me. I believe that all of us in this room are one of God's best ways of giving good gifts. You are one of God's greatest gifts to others. I'd love to pray. Hey God, it's Jake. God, I can think of times in my life that are hard, and I really am not always sure what you're doing. But I also know that every time I look back on my life, I can just see your fingerprints all over it. Sometimes those come from big, remarkable things. I can point to times where I've seen you do remarkable things, and far more often I can just point to remarkable people. Who weren't coming to preach a sermon. They weren't coming to change my life. They were just coming to do life, and thank God for that. God, I thank you for the ambassadors of heaven we have here. And I thank you for the opportunity for us to be present in the lives of others. God, thanks for this church. Thanks for Advent. Thanks for your son. Amen.